Chapter 1. Rouge. No matter how you sliced it, office work was more boring than anything else. Zoe had the lunch menu memorized. Toting boxes of 3D reference models for the artists, cleaning Mr. Ham and Cheese's cage for Harris' team. Apparently they'd used it to create models for the Greater Hamster, and it was now the unofficial team mascot, and picking extra pickles off Granny's sandwich just didn't float her boat. Every once in a while someone would take a minute to explain something about their actual job, and that was really cool, but being the department dog's body? Not cool. On the other hand, she loved being a guinea pig for Dr. Joe. Take today for instance. She just spent half an hour holding a real-life Mombele. It was exactly like the one she had in-game, right down to the leather-wrapped handle, the moon-shaped curve into a straight stabby bit, and the spike on the back. The weight of it felt a little different though, and it definitely wasn't as sharp or pointy as the real thing, though it lodged into the target on the wall of the gym just fine. It smelled like warm metal and leather, and when she touched it with her tongue, she grimaced at the tang of iron. Now, the warm fluid surrounded her like the coziest blanket she'd ever felt. She looked up at Dr. Joe, where he was leaning over the pod. The sound of his voice was slightly muffled by the mask and headset she wore, but she knew what he was asking. "Everything feel okay, Zoe?" He asked the same thing every time, and he actually waited for an answer. Unlike most adults. They might ask, but it was usually pretty obvious they didn't really care about the answer. Even though her answer was always the same, he still listened. Today, she decided to ask something that had been bothering her for a while. She knew that when she spoke, the pickup in her face mask would carry it loud and clear to his earbud. The cameras and screens in the mask fed audio and video back to her, in turn. "Hey, Dr. Joe. Why don't people use the bathroom in Veritas?" Dr. Joe froze and a red flush rose up his cheeks. He cleared his throat and looked up and to the right, avoiding her gaze. "Ah, well, you realized that, did you?" "Well, the truth is," he looked back and grinned a little, mischief dancing in his eyes, "when we were doing beta testing of the game, we found that the system was sometimes a little too convincing. Nobody could agree whose responsibility it was to clean up the resulting mess. So we just took out the option entirely." Zoe laughed, picturing a bunch of people in white lab coats playing rock, paper, scissors over piles of waste. She shook her head and held her thumb up. "I'm ready to go, Dr. Joe." He rolled his eyes at the rhyme and the title she insisted on giving him, but returned the gesture, then reached up and closed the lid of the pod. Blue fluid silently filled in the space around her, and she laid back and closed her eyes. Rouge kept her eyes closed for a moment, getting used to the feeling that she had been instantly transported somewhere entirely different. The disorientation was better, in that she didn't feel so dizzy and disconnected, until she got used to feeling less of everything. It was worse in that she didn't feel so much less of everything, so the disconnect her brain had to deal with between where she was a moment ago and where she was now was fierce. She drew in a few deep breaths, taking in the crisp smell of snow. She swore she could almost feel the little hairs in her nose freeze. She opened her eyes as she breathed out, watching her breath puff into clouds in the still winter air. It was late winter now. Winter was short in Veritas, so there was only another week or so until it all melted, and spring would begin. Veritas Corp knew that everybody got tired of winter pretty quickly, no matter how many snow-related events they ran. She was really sorry she'd missed the snowball fight event in Bright, but no matter how much she'd prayed to Gina for just a short trip back to join in the fun, she'd gotten no response. So much for having some pull with the lady upstairs. Everybody on the farm was tired of winter, too. Now that everyone who could be was partied, and Aspen's animal companions could use party chat, everybody got to listen to Cor complain about how the snow got stuck in his fur. Did the little unicorns complain? No. Not that they could, because apparently, they counted as animals instead of NPCs or something. Aspen said the bat, goat, and spider each had part of his soul, so maybe that was it? Though what the rationale was for excluding Sarave and William, Rouge had no idea. Of course, Sarave and Sumi had worked out a complex technique for communicating via web patterns, so it was really only William who was still out in the cold, and the vampire didn't really seem to mind. In any case, the kids were smart enough to spend most of their days inside the house, napping in front of the fire, or causing mayhem as they played by climbing under and over furniture and people alike. Even the duck spent most of his time in the barn, head tucked under his wing as if he were trying to find out if ducks could hibernate. No, Codswallop and Cor were the only ones who insisted on walking around. Codswallop followed Rouge or her zombie everywhere he could. He would allow other people to feed him, but other than that, he was a one-girl bird. He sometimes got ice stuck between his toes, but he could groom it out himself, unless Rouge was around, in which case he hopped from foot to foot, warbling pitifully until she did it for him. Cor, on the other hand, did absolutely everything he usually did, just as if everything wasn't covered in snow and the same approximate temperature as Antarctica. As a result, he got these crazy balls of snow on his fur and ice between his split hooves. Sometimes he looked like a whole city of small animated snowmen walking around complaining about how no one ever looks after the goat. Aspen finally threatened to shave him, which had helped for a day or so, but then the huge beast was right back to his whiny ways. Now Codswallop thrust a cold bird head into her hands and she smiled, feeling like her face would crack in the chill. "Hey Wally! How are you? Did you miss me?" The large ostrich rubbed his head against her, leaning into her side so hard that he nearly knocked her down, leaving her in no doubt that he had indeed missed her. She opened her inventory and pulled out an ear of corn, which she fed to him. As her greedy bird swallowed the cob whole, she looked around, taking in the beauty of winter in the wilderness. The only signs of civilization were her own tracks, left by her zombie as it wandered around, and smoke rising from the chimney of the house about half a mile ahead. The snow was only about 6 inches deep this time, and while it was a slog to walk, it wasn't anything her high dexterity couldn't handle. "What was I doing, Wally?" She looked down at her hands, seeing that she wasn't holding anything except a bird head looking for pettings. She pulled up her inventory, sorting by items most recently added, and found a stack of 99 full water skins. "Aha! Water run, huh? Good thing I looked. I guess I should take these back before I get to work. I really don't want to see Sumi cranky again." Rouge shuddered and continued on toward the house, enjoying the crisp sound of the snow beneath her boots, though not the chill of her fingers and toes. She had quickly found that deep immersion wasn't always great. She'd never really noticed normal changes of temperature in-game, except that you could get debuffs if you stayed in the hot sun too long without a hat, or walked outside in the cold without boots and a coat. Now though, her toes curled as they tried to warm up by touching each other, to no avail obviously. She had sewn some simple fur socks a few weeks ago, so at least she didn't think her toes would actually fall off now. She pulled out her mombele and began tossing it back and forth as she walked, catching the hilt firmly at the end of each throw. The soft slap of the leather against her palm made a pleasant counterpoint to the crunch of her boots and Codswallop's soft, cheerful chirps as he strode beside her. She should probably ride, but the ostrich didn't have his saddle on, and it wasn't in her inventory. Probably stored in the barn, which was fine, but no way was she bouncing her butt on his bony back all the way to the house. Once again, full immersion made things a little too realistic. Halfway back, she chucked her blade toward a distant hillock of snow. It was a little higher than usual when she went on a river run, so she vaguely wondered if a new tree had fallen and been covered by a drift. Not something she would do with a regular blade, of course, but with the return spell and how the game considered wiping down the blade in any way as cleaning it, she didn't have to worry about it getting lost or rusty. The hillock cursed. "You have dealt 28 points of damage to player Poophead 1. Player Poophead 1 was taken by surprise and is unable to move for 5 seconds. Player Poophead 1's camouflage was broken." For a heartbeat, Rouge stood there, wide-eyed, as the snow vanished to reveal a man dressed all in white from head to foot, crouched along the path broken through the snow by her zombie's feet. Then Codswallop let out the loudest honk she'd ever heard. The sound echoed across the snowy landscape, and from the corner of her eye, she caught a flash of movement as another player stumbled, startled by the noise, and their knife swiped harmlessly through the air by her head. Instantly she crouched. Using every scrap of her level 21 acrobatic skill, she thrust herself up, somersaulting backwards through the air. She landed neatly on Codswallop's back, toes curling into his body through her boots as she leaned forward and caught at his feathers with her left hand. She reached out with her right and used return. You have dealt 11 points of secondary damage to player Poop Head 1. Player Poop Head 1 is bleeding. She grinned viciously and cast Poof, followed by the new spell she'd gotten for completing the training montage quest, Repeat. It forced the target to repeat the last 1 second 5 times. It was amazing, and she knew she hadn't figured out what all it could be used for yet. It had a cooldown of 24 hours, and it would only work right after the 1 second you wanted to repeat, but if your timing was good. You have dealt 11 points of secondary damage to player Poop Head 1. Player Poop Head 1 is bleeding. You have dealt 11 points of secondary damage to player Poop Head 1. Player Poop Head 1 is bleeding. You have dealt 11 points of secondary damage to player Poop Head 1. Player Poop Head 1 is bleeding. You have dealt 11 points of secondary damage to player Poop Head 1. Player Poop Head 1 is bleeding. You have dealt 11 points of secondary damage to player Poop Head 1. Player Poop Head 1 is bleeding. Even as her smoke cloud billowed out over the scene, and Poop Head 1 and his buddy tried to turn it blue with their cursing, she and Codswallop were bounding toward the house as fast as an ostrich with a relationship of 100 could go, which was pretty darn fast even without breakfast rolls.